Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Let's turn in our Bibles, Philippians chapter 3. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Turn to your neighbor and tell him I'm a work in progress. But our focus, I heard somebody say, you're a work in progress. But our that's true too. But our focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Somebody say us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. He said, I move forward, but then I consciously make it a decision to hold on to the progress that we have already made. Somebody say, I'm moving forward. If you will put up our declaration that all of the moving forwards that we are making, in Jesus' name. And if you can't get to it, there it is. Let's say it together. I'm moving forward and taking my family with me. I'm moving forward and taking my health with me. I'm moving forward and taking my purpose with me. I'm moving forward and taking my ministry with me. I'm moving forward and taking my career with me. I'm moving forward and taking my money with me. Now, one more time, turn to your neighbor and just tell them, I'm moving forward with or without you. Some of your spouse just looked at you cross-eyed. You're like, hell, hold on now. Well, let's move on together. You may be seated. Last week, we jumped into Exodus chapter 14. And we saw the deliverance. And we began to see the deliverance in the process or in the middle of the process of what the nation of Israel, when they got stuck in the middle of their miracle. And can I just tell you that I believe for this church, and I know that there's exceptions to every rule, but I believe there's a lot of us that are stuck in the middle of our miracle. We're not in bondage like we used to be, but we're not in the promise like we're supposed to be or like we're going to be. And so that's where we see Israel in chapter 14. We see that God has taken them out of Egypt, that God has taken them out of bondage and slavery, but they have not yet stepped into the promised land, which leads us to this point, and I love this point. It just took God a matter of a few hours to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. That some of us, we are stuck so long because he might have geographically moved us and he might have saved us and he might have moved us forward. But if we're honest, we took some things that should have stayed behind and we are living some things out that we should have walked away from. And so one of my personal commitments in 2025, a promise that I've made to God and myself, is that I'm going to let God do his thing and I'm going to get out of the way. God, I'm not going to put parameters or boundaries on you telling you, God, you can do this, but you have to do it this way. Or God, you can bless me, but you have to do it this way or use that person. See, some of us, we are begging for relationships and God is saying, I've brought you the right people, but because they didn't look like you thought they'd look. They're a different color than you. They're a different age than you. They're a different social background than you. You are going to allow him to bless you. They're stuck in the middle. It took 40 years to figure out that God's going to do it, but God, what they did, or took 40 years to figure out that God's going to do it, but God's going to do it his way. So God, I give you permission over the next 11 and a half months that I'm going to get out of your way. Not me, and I'm not going to do anything, and I'm not going to live and walk in obedience, but God, I'm going to do it like you want to do it. And I'm going to go the way you want me to go. And I'm going to go at the speed you want me to go. And the older I get, it's funny. The older you get, you think you'd do it faster. But the older I get, the more wisdom I operated in. And I realize that quick doesn't always mean right. That sometimes slow and steady does win the race. And I might not cover 10 miles today, but as long as I'm further along tonight when I go to sleep than when I woke up this morning, as long as I'm moving at God's speed, praise God, then I'm going to make it to where he's called me to be. Verse 10 is where we kicked off last session, and as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. Pharaoh is in chasing them down from behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them, and the Bible says in verse 10 that they cried out to the Lord. Then verse 11, and then they cried out to Moses. Why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? What have you done to us? Moses didn't do anything to them. He didn't force them out of Egypt with a cattle prod. They followed him. They got so tired of how it was that they had enough faith for a moment, but not faith for a movement. And see, there's a danger in having faith in January that writes checks that your behind can't cash February through December. If you're going to step out in faith, church, in January, when all hell breaks loose in April, you're going to have to keep walking in faith. You're going to have a word, and we're going to share some of that word tomorrow night. You're going to have a word that you can cling to that says, I know what God promised me in January. I know what word I stood on and declared in January, and I know hell is broken loose against me. I know this person left and walked out on me. I know I lost my job, and everything seems to be going wrong in my life, but I remember what God promised me. And so if it was a good enough word to break me out of Egypt, it's going to be a good enough word to break me into promise, to break through into promise. So the first thing the Israelites did was they cried out to God. Second thing, they cried out to leadership. Many times people in your life will talk crazy to you because they didn't get the answer they wanted from God. So they come talking to you, asking you what you think. And if you're a good friend, it's not going to be what you think. It's going to be what the Word of God says. Can I encourage you? Be that friend that always gives them the Word. Be that friend that always encourages obedience. I love what Miss Tammy said. She said, a lot of times we shout about the blessing. We get loud about the blessing. When's the last time you shouted about obedience? When's the last time God told you to do something you didn't want to do and you said, my favorite is obeying and being in submission to God's plan and God's will. But if you are going to move forward, it is going to take complete and total submission, and it is going to take a loud obedience. Somebody say yes. So I want to encourage you. They're crying out to God. They're crying out to you. Let them talk. Let God cook. Let them talk and make sure you're working. Don't stop your work to have vain arguments and dissension and debates. When you debate with a fool, you both end up looking foolish. When you debate with someone who has Googled their theology, you both look foolish. Do not cast your pearls before swine. You need to make sure that you can say what needs to be said and move on. Some of us, our progress has been slowed. Some of us have missed the timing of God in 2024 because we stopped to have arguments with everybody that questioned what God spoke into our lives. Let them talk. Let God cook. Verse 12. Didn't we tell you this would happen? They said crazy things like we told you this would happen. My question would be, then why did you leave? They told Moses, leave us alone. Then why did you follow me here? They said, let us be slaves, which I would have said, do you hear yourself talking? You begged for God to lead you out. God has led you out. It has just been a few hours and you're already begging to go back. Can I tell you this? A lot of times we look at addiction as in a substance. They were addicted to bondage. They were addicted to slavery. They did good. How many of you have ever been on a diet for half a day? How many of you ever worked out for half a week? You know what that says about us? Not that we don't have the desire to be free, but we're addicted to our past. We're addicted to what, and shame on us for God to work a miracle to get us free. And then at the first moment, we run back to it when things don't go our way. Can I just tell you, I want to prophesy that God is going to bless your 2025. But can I also prophesy, just knowing how life is, there's going to be some tough moments in 2025. There's going to be some things that try to prevent you from moving forward. But you are going to have to be like Moses and say, God, I know you called me to this. And so I know there's a way through this. I just have to be obedient to move forward. He says in verse 13, he gives us five ingredients. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord. You'll never see this enemy again, meaning say goodbye to the enemy. and stay calm. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. Remember, they have complained to Moses. Actually, remember this. Let's go through this real quick. They complained to God. They complained to Moses. Moses has stilled the people and given them these five things. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Watch the Lord. Say goodbye to the enemy and stay calm. And then God speaks to Moses. This is what God says. Why are you crying out to me? This is where bad leadership turns into good leadership. Moses, as a leader, let the people's problem become his problem. See, as a pastor, I think it's very important, and as leaders, that you encourage people, but their problem is not your problem. You can help them carry and teach them how to carry and how to overcome. But can you imagine me as a pastor if I went home every Sunday and I took on the burdens of everybody that had been in this house or the 150 people that came to an altar? I'm not strong enough to do that, but I know who is. Jesus. That's why Jesus, we are encouraged to cast our cares on him. Why? Because if you cast your cares on me, it will crush me. If you carry them yourselves, it will crush you. Moses allowed the people's panic to become his panic. That's not going to happen. He allowed the people's drama to become his drama. That's not going to happen. He allowed the people's fear and anxiety and complaining to become him, because this is what God says to Moses. Moses has just told the people to calm down, but he himself is panicked, because you see that in how God responds to Moses. He said, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." I love God here, because his leadership, it helps me, because my leadership is a lot like his leadership in this moment. And this will surprise you about Pastor Mandy, because you don't know Pastor Mandy beyond the platform, and she is as nice and as meek and as quiet, and her personality is of course much softer than mine. But one of the phrases that I loved hearing when my kids were growing up is when they didn't get their way or they were complaining, Pastor Mandy didn't coddle our children. She loved them, and sometimes it was tough love, but this is the phrase that I loved to hear when I was working at my office and I could hear the banter going back and forth between the kids, and then they'd bring it to Mandy, and Mandy would just say this, "Suck it up, buttercup." She would say things like, "Fix your face." Not saying that there wasn't those moments that she hugged and embraced and encouraged and built confidence. But in this moment, this is what God is saying. And I love this, church. God is saying, "Moses, they know what to do. Moses, they know where to go." Can I just say that a lot of us have lied to ourselves, saying that we are waiting on God for direction and information. And God is saying, how long are you going to sit at a church like Living Way? How many times are you going to fast? How much time do you have to pray and still say you are waiting on God? Because most of us, when we say we are waiting on God, what we have done is we have taken the responsibility off of us and we have now placed it on God. And here is God saying to Moses, "We're not playing that game. Y'all are stuck in the middle of a miracle. You are stuck in a circle cycle. And there's a promised land that I have promised. And you're not going to blame it on me if they don't get there. This is what I'm telling you. Moses, stop your crying and go tell the people, get to moving." Which means they know what to do. They know where to go. They just have to get up and do it. And they just have to start moving forward. "Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm just waiting on God." For what? He's not an Uber. He's not a taxi cab driver. For you to be, and everyone in here, besides maybe a couple of the really small children, everyone in here, teenagers and up, how long are you going to follow God and still say you're waiting on God? Because what that means is you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, and you're not led of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that sometimes I don't have to in a moment, but I can't. Let me tell you something. 21 days of prayer and fasting doesn't mean you sit down for 21 days and don't do anything. Because until he tells me what to do next, I'm going to do what he's called me to do now, which is move forward.
I can't see the end of my journey, but I do know how to put one foot in front of the next. I might not get there tonight, but I'm gonna put one foot in front of the next. I might not get there by the end of 2025, but I'm gonna put one foot in front of the next. So I have come like Moses to prophetically say, get up and move forward. Quit staying. You know what to do. You know what to do. Say, Pastor Brandon, it's just been a hard 2024. I don't make light of your struggles. I don't make light that you've been. We had some horrific things happen to some families of Living Way Church. Some of them just in the past 4 or 5 weeks. I'm not telling you not to grieve. I'm not telling you not to mourn. But like I've said before, you can move forward with tears in your eyes. You can move forward while you're grieving. That is why a community of faith is so important, because we'll put you in the middle of the pack so that you can grieve in a healthy, strong, peaceful place. We will fight off the attackers. We will fight off. God will fight your battles. He will take care of the Egyptians. We just need you to move forward. Essentially what God is saying in verse 15, why are you talking to me? You know what to do. You know where to go. You know what to do. You know where to go. One of the things that I've gained from both of my parents, my mother especially, is when we are having conversations about what needs to be done, we write things down. I have a note section on my phone. I'm typing out things because you know what? I'll forget. I know emails come my way. People text me, people Facebook and Instagram and all those things. I always tell people, email, 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 because it's going to sit in my inbox until I take care of it. The problem is I receive hundreds of emails a week, and so it takes me a little while to get through. But if it's not written down, I will forget it. That's why the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain. But you know what to do. If you don't know what to do, it means you haven't taken God's word as serious as you need to. Because you haven't taken that word, written it down like Habakkuk says, but also more important than writing it down on paper, he says, I've put the word of God in my heart. I've hidden it that I might not sin against God. I'm going to say something that if it hurts your feelings, take it up with God. Not moving forward for a believer is sin. Staying where you're at is sin. Because that means you expect God's purpose for your life to operate on your timetable. And remember, God's purpose for your life is so much greater than a better life. It is a life where you are called to meet people and give them Jesus. And create atmospheres and cultures in your home and on your job. And so that means if you're not where you need to be in January of 2025, then everybody God has called you to is waiting for you. Sin is anything that separates you from God. And here's one of the greatest things that will separate you from God is time. Not giving him the time, and because you don't give him the time, now you are out of time. You're playing catch up. Procrastination is bad enough at your job. It's really bad when we talk about the things of God. It all comes down to these four words: less talk, more move. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, same verse in the KJV. The Lord said unto Moses, why do you cry thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward. That they may go forward. Why is this such an important word for 2025? Because when God told the nation of Israel to move forward, forward was not even an option. The Red Sea's in front of them. How many of you have been to the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, whatever you're calling it these days, I'm fine with. I really am. How many of you ever been to a large body of water? My father-in-law loves to fish, and he took me surf fishing one time. I love to fish.
But when he started telling me that we're going to swim out hundreds of yards to sandbars that you can't see, I did that. We caught some fish. Those fish are bleeding everywhere while we're taking them off the hook. I look down and I'm like, man, we're a couple hundred yards offshore. We're literally chumming the water. I felt, I don't know if it was a piece of sand. I don't know if it was plankton. I don't know if it was seaweed. I don't know if it was a shark. I felt something hit my leg. I'm going to tell you what. Brandon walked on water that day. I could have beat Michael Phelps coming back. Said never again, on boat or on land. That's the only way I'll fish. But I've stood at those bodies of water. I've stood at the Pacific Ocean. Man, that vast ocean. Going forward is not even an option. Left or right. Behind them is not an option because they can hear the chariots of the enemy that are either going to kill them or drag them back to slavery. God says, tell them to move forward. Here's the revelation, church. God, when he is getting ready to call you to something great, the direction he calls you is not even an option to you. Some of us have dismissed it because it looks impossible. Some of us were standing there on the coastline and God is saying, move forward. Forward's not an option. I can't see land on the other side. God, I can go left or I can go right. God said, move forward. But I can't go forward. No, you can't see what God sees. You can't see on the other side of what's in front of you. And I know it might not be a body of water, but I do know this, that coming into 2025 in your prayer time or in the last 18 days of fasting, you have heard from God and God has been whispering things and God has been yelling things into your spirit. And some of you are saying, I don't even know if that's God because that doesn't even seem like an option, doesn't even seem possible. But I have come to echo what God is saying and confirm it in your spirit tonight. Forward is an option when God is involved. Moving past what you see is an option when God is involved. The marriage ain't over if God didn't say it's over. Your kids are coming back if God said they're coming back. It does not matter what it looks like. This seems to be a better option. Nope, forward. I don't have a boat. Doesn't matter what you have. I'm calling you for. Isn't it amazing? In the New Testament, he shows us that he can make someone walk on water. In the Old Testament, he says, let me show you, you don't have to walk on water, I'll just move the water. You talk about a miracle. He opens up an ocean. You know why he opened up an ocean? Because he's a God of his word. He's good on his promises, Sister Tammy. Tyler, he's good on his promises. What he said, I told them to go forward. If they can't go forward, I'm going to be a liar. My only options are, is to move the obstruction. Can I just declare and prophesy to somebody that in January of 2025, what you thought was impossible, the thing that you've been using as an excuse that you can't move forward, God is saying, I am a God and I cannot lie. I'm not like men. I'm not like your ex. I'm not like the government. I'm not like a politician. What I say, I will do. And if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, I can make a way where there seems to be no way. Stand on your feet. Move forward. Move forward. I don't as much as I used to. I used to watch a lot of Christian television. I don't watch it a lot because it's the cringiest television there is. And some of my friends, they're leading the cringe. And they're not bad people. You know, they're telling us bald guys to lay our hands on our heads and speak hair growth. Listen, I figure
God knew what was going to happen to your boy because that's why he gave me a nice round head. It's not pointy. But check this out. Say, could he do it? God could do anything. But there's more important things in my life. I'm doing my best to move forward. With or without hair, I'm moving forward. Here's the thing, and I say that as a joke, but there's so much seriousness in what I'm saying. There is so much of our time that we are majoring in minor things. And I know that the small things are important to God, but can I encourage you, don't let the little foxes and the little needs and the little enemies rob you of the fruit that is on that vine. That's what the foxes spoil. The small foxes spoil the vine. And so I believe that there's a forward movement to this church. But I understand that forward looks impossible. Can I just, and I know it's not Heart and Soul Night, but can I just throw something out there for it? I sat in my office the other day. I talked to Bishop, talked to Pastor Becky, talked to Tyler, talked to Jaden, talked to Mandy, talked to Alyssa, talked to some of our leaders. And I've got all these things in my mind. We need to do this. We got to do this. We need to do a better job here. We need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. I just very quickly put pen to paper and added it all up. It's just going to take like $12 million. That's all we need. That's all we need. $12 million? A lot to me. God is saying, it's not a lot. I just need you to move forward. Here's the word, church. You're worried about the wrong thing. The water is not your problem. Your faith, that's up to you. Your obedience and moving your feet, that's up to us. God's saying, let me worry, not worry. Let me take care of the water. Let me make a way where there is no way. I just need you to be obedient to walk it through. How dumb would the nation of Israel have been when God said, move forward? Rolls back the Red Sea and they took a right. Or they just stood there and got slaughtered by the Egyptians. No, when he made the way, what did they start doing? They started marching. Oh, this is awesome. Dry land, promised land, here we come. Getting out of Egypt, on our way to the wilderness, on our way a quick 3 or 4 days to the promised land. This is great. Some of us tonight, we're waiting on the water to move. I don't have time to get to it, but we were going to go all the way to the New Testament where that gentleman had laid paralyzed for 30 plus years, waiting for the movement of the water. God is not waiting for the water. God's waiting for you. God's waiting for me. I'll just tell one on me. The altars are open. I'll tell one on me. I'm preparing this, and this has been in my spirit since November. Get it together, knowing that we're going to preach this in January. And I said, oh, God, that's good. We're waiting on the water. You're waiting on us. The water's not my problem. My obedience is my problem. And then God started chastising me. He said, how long have you been waiting for the water to move this way? For the water to move this way? I just need you to move forward. And I believe that as you take a step forward, the water gets pushed back. As you take 5 steps forward, the water begins to roll back. Your obedience. You're waiting on the water. God's waiting on your obedience. I hope to God that the progress of Living Way and the forward movement of this church has not been waiting on me. But if it has, the waiting season is over because we're marching and moving forward. We're marching and moving forward. Those of you in this altar, I just want you to lift your hands and start talking to God.
I was going to go a little different direction here, but I'm going to wait till tomorrow night to go there, because I feel like this is a good place to put a comma tonight. We'll continue tomorrow, and we'll continue next week. God, I'm so grateful that you don't discard us and that you're not impatient with us. And I say us, God, because I know many times you have waited on me. God, just me and you talking with the church, listen, I know many times there's been things that you wanted to do in my marriage, but you were waiting on me. That in years gone by, there was things you wanted to do in my children, but you were waiting on me to move forward. And God, yes, even this church, waiting on pastoral leadership to move forward. But God, my commitment coming into this year is you'll no longer wait on me. God, I'm going to move forward. Everything that I have within me, forward movement, every step of the way. Lord, there are so many that have gathered in this altar tonight. Hands are uplifted in a way to say, God, we let go. But God, we are also ready to receive. So Lord, give them the faith not to pick up what they let go tonight. People in this altar, you're letting go of Egyptian tendencies. Letting go of bondage tendencies. The addiction to bondage is broken. The addiction to broke is gone. The addiction to sickness is gone. The addiction to chaos, addiction, all, it's gone. We let it go. But Lord, we embrace. Hands are lifted up. We embrace. We catch your presence, your mercy, your grace, your spirit. Lord, as we get ready to touch and agree in our prayer team ministering to all of these in this altar, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your spirit, more important than any of us, Lord, would touch, would baptize people in your Holy Spirit, renewing them, God. The same spirit that raised you from the dead, let it be activated on and in believers in this room, at their seat, and even on the other side of these screens tonight, and these red lights. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep your hands up if you're in this altar, pastoral team. Go ahead and start anointing and praying. I'm going to ask our prayer team. If you're asking, am I on that prayer team? You're not if you're asking that. If you're on the prayer team, you know you're on the prayer team. Go ahead and get out of your seats and join us in this altar and begin to lay hands and begin to encourage and begin to inspire and begin to declare the word of God over the lives of these men and women and children that are in this altar. If you're in this audience today and you don't know Jesus, there is no forward movement without Christ. And Christ moved forward so that we could move forward. Your first forward movement is to take a step out of where you are, to take a giant step to the cross. I've got friends that I went to high school with that have graduated from AA. What a noble program that is. And they've got multiple steps, and I'm not denigrating that. But I'm here to tell you that your life will begin to be transformed with one step. And that is a step towards Jesus and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, this is your moment. If you've never been baptized in water, we are ready tonight. 16 young people with their clothes on, no change of clothes, no towels, jumped in the cold water last Friday night and said, I obey, I believe, I trust, and I follow Jesus. We're ready for you tonight. We've got robes, we've got hair dryers, we've got towels, whatever you need. Don't leave this building if you have not been baptized in water. This is your moment. And then if you're ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that is the evidence. The Holy Spirit will cause you to speak in a language you didn't learn, but the purpose of the Spirit is to lead and guide into all truth. It is power. It is the dunamis of the gospel. If that's you, praise God for that hallelujah in the back. It is a powerful thing. And then if you're back at your seats and you say, Pastor, I'm good, I'm moving forward, then I need you to stretch your hand and I need you to add your prayer and add your faith to your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, your kids in this altar today. Some on their face before God, some with tears streaming down their face. This is your moment. Lead us in worship. Worship team, hands uplifted all over the building. God is doing something in this altar. Let's pray.